Have you, I was going to say to you about, we were talking about video games, weren't we? And about how, are there any video games that you would... Video games? That's right, on your Playbox. Or your X Station. Well, that seems a bit more porny, an X Station.
X Station.
These jokes, ask your granddad about these jokes.
Hey, sign me up to the X Station. How do I get access to that? Where do I put my credit card?
Like, where do you put other things?
In the slot.
Fantastic. We've invented sex machines. That's right. We have just right now thought of that for the first time in human history.
We're days away from robots. Days away from robots. So I think this is, you know, if we're going to cut, do we want realistic Westworld style robots or do we want cubes? You know, cubes. I think we want cubes.
Trouble is, Sam, I just think that people are going to sexualize them regardless. So do you really want, like, cubes to be sexualized?
Look at that fan grill.
Yeah, you see, this is what happened. This is why we can't have nice things.
All right, so what's your idea then?
Well, it's not related to how sexy we make the robots or not sexy.
I'm not interested. Never mind.
They're going to have sex with them regardless, so I guess whatever the most efficient way to make them.
Yeah, okay.
No, I was going to ask you about... we were talking about the GTA announcement. Is there a gameplay trailer coming out or something?
I think in December, yeah. So, like,
so it's the usual, like, the world in which we live. We now have the announcement for the announcement. At some point in the future...
It's like when you watch modern movie trailers and they've got a 6-second version of the trailer at the start of the 2-minute trailer. And you're like,
yeah.
Have our attention spans been so destroyed?
Yes.
That we,
it's
yes.
a teaser. It's a teaser for a teaser, which
but
is baffling.
Within the teaser, it's not like it's a separate thing. It's not like it's on TikTok by itself. It's within the video. Like, it's insane.
I guess it's like, don't be looking at your phone, right? Pay attention because there's a really cool trailer coming up or something.
Yeah.
No, I was asking because we talked, obviously, on our Starfield ramble about how disappointed and upset and bereaved we were. That game was bad. It's a bad game. And so I was more thinking sort of like, I'll probably get GTA, 6 it'll be. Yeah. Probably get GTA 6, mate. Not straight away when it comes out, to be honest, because I've just been burnt too many times. But I was thinking, like, what sequels would be sort of like a more, not instant, but a more, play that game. Like, are there any sequels, any games that you really enjoyed that you would
what's going to get me excited about video games? Because this is the problem, isn't it? It's like, I feel like we are, because we're getting older, because we're becoming more out of touch with what the kids are into. Like, we're just not, we don't have the time.
We were never cool.
I know, but we were kids. It's a generic statement.
Biologically, yes, you're correct.
That's true. Yeah. That's right, Your Honor. What I feel is that there are going to be fewer and fewer games. Now, annoyingly, because it's so, like, stereotypical white guy thing, the games that make me excited are, like, Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption, and also other games not made by Rockstar. Like, and it's an irritating that's an irritating fact. But I do think, like, it's a bit like movies. You know, you could go to the cinema and you could watch whatever Marvel vomit cake they're serving up this week. Or if you try and if you actually put the work in, you can, like, find the niche that you like. You know, you can find the smaller stuff that's interesting that isn't as maybe as approachable, but you kind of need to, like, do the work. And that's where I feel like at the moment I'm just nowhere near that. I'm nowhere near, like, understanding what type of games are coming out, what's new, what do I want to play. So,
well, again, I think you've said, like, it's that the top out of touch nature. I've been playing Elden Ring and I can't stop talking about it because I have no one to talk to about because no one's playing it.
Go on.
I have a point here. And what has impressed me most about that game, because it's a Souls-like and loads of people don't like that, and that's fine because...
So is this like you're battling like kind of button bashy.
Yeah, but really it's hard. But it's open world.
Ah, right.
So, and you have a horse. Fucking every game has to have a horse you ride around on. But it's open world. But there's an intentionality to the way the game is designed. So, like, there's dungeons and levels, and it's played with. And it sounds so simplistic, but it's played with a view of, right, what is the player going to do? What is the person going to do when they get to this level? How are they going to get across here? We need an item to do combat that. How are they going to do this, that, and the other? And it's, again, it's an intentionality that just wasn't there in a game like Starfield, which I'm really enjoying, it because it feels like a game that's made for gamers as opposed to a game that's made so people can fucking platinum it and do Twitch still a thing, Twitch videos of it. You know, in the social media aspect, and it got me thinking about games that I really, really enjoyed in the last 10 years, and a couple of them are getting sequels. So confusingly, The Outer Worlds, which
I
is
knew
the,
what you were going to say, yeah,
the Obsidian game. I'm quite interested to play The Outer Worlds too because I really enjoyed The Outer Worlds. I thought it was pretty fun. Like,
so that's the New Vegas in space game, isn't it? Like, as opposed
correct.
To. The other one.
Yeah. And The Outer Worlds, I will say, is a pretty small game, really. I think it has a lot of flaws. It's not perfect. It's a lot more basic than the Fallout series, I would say.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see where they're going to go with the sequel and what they're going to develop. And they've kind of got this now, this bit of a lore, and we can run with that and do so much more. Because I liked the aesthetic and the feel of it. Now, a very similarly titled game, Outer Wilds... I don't know if
seminal.
The sequel's out. They are making a second one,
they
or have made
seminal.
A second one.
Like I that is for me. That's the best game I've played in the last 10 years at least. Like, it's the best game of the Xbox of the last generation by a long way. And it's funny because that's exactly the type of game that I'm talking about when I say, oh, this is a bit obscure and. Like, did we buy it? Did I actually spend money on that? I think so,
like, yeah.
Because I saw videos about it online and it just looked really interesting. And then you kind of go, and then I say, oh, maybe you should get it, guys. And all of a sudden, we found the gem, the best game, I think. The best indie game I've probably ever played. Like, just an unbelievable video game experience. But we kind of have, whereas rocking up for whatever Rockstar's selling, you know, which is inevitably some kind of like online point system, credits, money. It requires less effort because the marketing's clean, because you know what, you know, they've obviously spent hundreds of millions of dollars to get it right. And it feels like you kind of have to work really hard to find an Outer Wilds versus what's going to, you know, get put, have adverts on the TV. As it were.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I've found something since like that, you know?
It was a really singular. And again, I think it comes down to the game design because it wasn't graphically particularly interesting to look at, I would have said. It's fairly basic. But again, it's about that emergent gameplay. It's such an important word.
Should we talk about that for a second? Should we talk about, like, because if you haven't played this, and a lot of people probably haven't, basically you're on this planet, you've got a spaceship... where you can take off.
Yeah, you're a Kerbal. You're not a Kerbal, but you're a Kerbal.
You're kind of an alien, and so you start off and you watch an explosion in the sky, and then you walk ahead, get on your spaceship, you fly around, and then every 22 minutes or something like that, the sun explodes and the game resets. And like this concept, I think it sounds really limiting, but it is probably one of the most innovative, exciting, like challenging little bits of gameplay, that loop that I've ever seen, because it means that you're almost...
It's not particularly... I hate to talk down on it. It's not innovative, I should explain.
Are you,
like, there was a Zelda game on the N64, Majora's Mask, that had the same... But what I'm saying is the premise of a cycle that resets, and that the game is basically rewarding you for exploring and discovering things so that the next time it resets, you can do things quicker and be more efficient with your time and discover different things, I think is... it's not new. It's certainly not something that a lot of video games do a lot, I think, because, again, it requires that level of attention that, that maybe not every game kind of wants to demand. But it works really, really well in the Outer Wilds. I did just have a quick look, and I don't think they're making a second one, because I was going to say, I'm kind of, that would be one of these things where I think I would have to buy it, because I enjoyed the first one so much, I would love for them to keep making games. But at the same time, I'd be like, I've no, you know, desperate desire to play it.
Yeah. And it would probably, just like The Last of Us, which we've talked about in previous
episodes. Do you play the second one?
No, God, no. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Probably the best game of the PlayStation 3. Nah, didn't play it. Sequel to the best game on the PS3. Nah, thank you, not interested.
Because I played the first one, and as we talked about, you know, go back and listen to that if you're interested. I enjoyed that so much. It was so complete. I was like, I don't want any DLC. I don't want to have... I watched the series, which was like just about enough, but even then it paled in comparison. And I feel the same with Outer Wilds as well, because I think that experience was so perfect and so meaningful and so like actual interactive storytelling, because you've got this cycle, because you've got this exploration which was so unique, proper puzzles and really just well-considered choices all the way through, that it feels like one of those games that if they tried to repeat it in a sequel, they'd just end up either doing the exact same thing, which would maybe be okay, or just go too far and end up in a position where
it's the you damage effect, the first game, isn't it? Which is a different, again, ask your grandparents about Portal. Because that was another game which, when it came out, was like super innovative. And
that statement is literally true for my son, because he's played Portal, but my dad would have also played Portal when it came out. So that's literally, ask your grandparents about that game. Like, how?
I was just thinking, I was like, yeah, Portal's really cool. Like, obviously old. Like, even in my brain, I was like, oh, that's an old game. That's an old new game, I should say. It's not like Streets of Rage. It's a, which I'm 3D sure we'll circle graphics. Back to.
Yeah.
But it, Portal, again, was a really innovative, quite limited in its own way, but really innovative and clever game design, and with the portals, and there were puzzles and really good. And then the second one, I think I played some of it. I could not care less. I think that's just, again, there's something about just going back to that well, and it's kind of like, oh no, when it was innovative and it was really cool, but otherwise, actually, no, it's just a really like boring, overly long.
But just like movies, you know, how there's so few movies that the sequel exceeds the original. It does happen, and you know, Red Dead 2 is a good example of that, where definitely a much more developed and advanced version of what the first one was. But yeah, like, I think it's really hard to channel and to put that lightning in a bottle a second time around, especially Portal, because it was the basic premise of the game is quite simple, and it wasn't really that. There wasn't a massive story. It wasn't like you were on a big quest. That helps as well, almost. A bit like Outer Wilds, where it's all self-contained. You know, there isn't just endless lore that you have to read. And you know what I mean? Like, I find that difficult sometimes when I'm having to do so much work.
Yeah, it's nice sometimes to play a game that, and as much as I like a game that's 400 hours long, it's also sometimes nice to play a game like Outer Wilds, which is, I don't think you ever actually finished it, because of that horrible snake planet.
I didn't. Actually.
Still haunts me. I still have nightmares about that. Jesus Christ, that's just.
It was too difficult. I couldn't. I just couldn't. I was so. It was so stressful, and so I just watched. And this is why this game is perfect, because I didn't. I watched a video of it online, and I experienced it in the same way. And I feel like that is just such a testament to the strength of the storytelling, because it wasn't about what you were doing. It was about the experience. It was about the end point and the journey that took you there. And that, I think, is that game. If you haven't played Outer Wilds, seriously, incredible. Says two old guys like us.
Yeah, what do we know?
Speaking of old people.
Let's talk about let's just briefly here, just quick question for you. So what's the first game that you remember actively going to buy yourself?
This is a good question. The first game that I bought myself with my own money Although not necessarily money I'd earned, but money that
stolen, embezzled.
Yeah. Fable. 2004, that came out.
Ask your great grandparents' grandparents about Fable.
I would have been, what, 13? Something like that. Like 12 or 13, maybe. And I remember I bought it online. It was delivered to my house. And this was a massive innovation. And I was completely and utterly immersed in this game. Like, it's one of those games that was just, it was just perfect. You know, it had everything I wanted. It had character design. It had morality choices. It had adventuring and swords and shields. And like, it's the first Fable for me is just absolutely perfect. And I can't wait, actually. In fact, I'm going to do this very soon. I'm going to introduce my son to this game because I think he's going to love it as well. Like, it's that age, you know, that real kind of like young kind of adventuring type of stuff. So
yeah, I think they're all on, a lot of them are on Game Pass. Also,
yeah, on Game Pass. I've tried to play them and gone, oh, this is hard because games are easy now. But
one's good. I really like one, and I just think the gunpowder ones are a bit like, oh, now I'm worried about rifles and. It's a bit.
I want to go back to, though. Yeah, the sword shields. You know.
Nice, yeah, quite frequently you can replay a game that you played a lot of, but you can't necessarily then go back and play the sequels that you missed, even though they're slightly newer, because they're still It's a 20-year-old game and it plays like a 20-year-old game.
I mean, literally, that's nearly 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right. Let me.
I mean, actually, I play games older than that.
Oh yeah. Oh well. Which yeah, definitely, but. Let me guess the first game that you had. I think we're either going to go... No, I think we're going to go with some kind of like nerdy historical strategy game. Total War or Civilization or something to that effect.
Well, I don't think so. I do distinctly. I used to go as a game station in Harrogate. Game station was so much
physical
better than game.
Media.
There was a game station in Harrogate, which is now an excellent bar where I grew up. So I can still go there all the time. I literally sit the place. This is. I bought. Speaking of strategy games, I bought Shogun Total War, which is the very first one, when I was 16 or so, from this game station.
I remember.
And every time I go in there, which is now a bar. Like, all these memories float back to me of all the times that I went in there to buy video games. I don't think that was the first video game that I bought, though. Like, you know, with an intentionality of I'd heard about it and I wanted to play it.
Okay.
I think it was probably Halo 3.
Oh, that's
although, because that feels like that came out in about 2006.
2007. So that's quite.
Oh,
late.
That won't have been. That won't have been the first one then. That won't have been the first one. Maybe it was. I bought a GameCube with Zelda Wind Waker, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, which is an excellent game that you, again, aren't good enough at video games to have played much of.
No, I've tried.
Game for children, that's right.
I have tried and just got stuck on the first boss and gone, oh, fuck this shit. This is terrible.
Anyway, and I wouldn't even say that's the best game in the series, but I distinctly remember going to buy that.
2003.
And that came with fucking, they used to do this all the time. I've still got it somewhere. That came with, you remember, because the GameCube with those tiny little miniature CDs,
little demo disc.
Yeah, and I remember that it came with Ocarina. It came with a remaster of Ocarina of Time, which is the N64 game. So that's how I played that initially. So it came with a separate disc.
For free?
No, it was like a special edition of the game. Of Wind Waker,
they would charge full price for that again now. Like,
they do. They
nuts.
Literally do. Yeah. But yeah, it came with a copy of Ocarina of Time, which wasn't necessarily something I intended when I bought it, but I wanted to play it. And then I was like, oh, it's Ocarina of Time, which I played like on and off quite a lot around the time that I bought it, but found it fucking impossible to get past certain bits of it because it was like. It wasn't pre-internet, but it was kind of like early days. You couldn't just put into Ask Jeeves like, oh, how do you beat this level in Zelda? It wasn't as clever as Google.
No. You probably didn't have access to, like, in terms of you're a child, and if you want to go online, you know, you maybe just about broadband, perhaps, but not, you know, not necessarily, like, yeah.
It's, yeah.
My example of that is the first driver, where me and my brother, we played the first level, and that's it. We never got to the second level because you needed to play the story to unlock them. Not very far through, but to do the story, you had to do the garage scene. We had to do, like, a handbrake turn. You had to do all these moves in, like, a minute. It's really hard to do. I've tried to do it as an adult, and it's really difficult to do in a minute and a half or whatever it is. It's like, well, there you go. That's it. You're just not going to play it then, because there's no... Where are you going to download the save from? Or where there's no cheats. Like, that's it. You're
fine. Yeah, my friend Johnny used to have a... and he sometimes listens to the podcast. It's a big shout out to you, Johnny. Had a folder.
Hey, Johnny,
you
know, patreon.com/SamJordan. Sign up.
I think we'll be splitting that money. that non-existent money. Had a folder, you know, with those, like, plastic sleeves in it, full of printouts of all GTA cheats.
Epic. What a Chad.
I bet he still got it. I'll ask him.
I was never that
bothered, because, I mean, honestly, when you make the tank fly, it's like, well, it's no longer a fun game, to be honest. That's 10 minutes of diversion,
remember,
and then
I can still remember the infinite weapon, all the weapons cheat for Hitman 2. Right, left, up, down, A, up, X, A. What the fuck? How? Check it. Do it right now. Hitman 2, weapon cheat. Right, left, up, down, A, up, X, A. That's insane. That's insane that it's so ingrained in my brain. You know, like...
All I know is, like, Sims cheats.
Yeah, Rosebud.
Rosebud.
Rosebud, and then... Was it colon... Semicolon, rose, and
semicolon.
If you did it over and over and over again, you could just get, like, a little. Oh. This is it. This is our legacy. Remembering stupid cheat codes from games that have long since died.
Yeah, it's the quality of games was certainly, I think, more up and down. We had a PS2. A lot of the games were really bad. A lot of the games were really poor. And the same with the GameCube. Like, yeah, there are some great games, and there are a lot of really, really, really poor games. And I suppose that's still the same now.
Yeah,
even
just
with,
like,
Game
now.
Pass, like, there's tons of games that just aren't very good. And I think probably even more so because it's so much cheaper to make a game than it was 20 years ago, and get it released digitally. You know, you don't even have to pay to print it, basically. But I don't know. It's hard to get really excited about any upcoming games. I'll probably buy Baldur's Gate 3. Speaking of old games, that's a sequel to, like, a 2000.
What a giant nerd.
I know. It's meant to be really, really good. It's on PC at the minute. But it's meant to be coming to Xbox for the end of the year. So I'll probably buy an Xbox.
Yeah.
Although I don't know why, because I could just buy it on my PC and use the same Xbox controller with my PC, because Microsoft owns the world, so that's great.
Yeah. I think there's definitely, you know,
series. I probably won't buy the new Elder Scrolls when it comes out. I'll probably wait several weeks for real reviews rather than fake Fugazi Starfield reviews to trickle in.
That's going to be years, because they are going to have to seriously retool what they're doing, and they know it as well, I think, from all of the... Anyway, we've learned about Starfield enough. But
we have, but it's... I can't think of... Like I said, GTA I'll maybe get, especially if you guys get it. I can't see Joe getting it, but if you guys get it, that'll be, like, a cool game to play sort of, like, with each other. They were talking about Sidebar, and I thought this was a really cool idea. Initially, Baldur's Gate was going to come to the Xbox with split-screen co-op.
Wow. There's a throwback.
And it would have... I think they have now scrapped that to basically expedite the release, but maybe at some point in the future, and that'd be really cool. I can't think of a way in which... Because it's not like it's not a fighting game. It's like it's an RPG. But if, like, when I live with Ross, for instance, yeah, I'd sit and play a split screen RPG with you. But over the course of 6 months,
my interest and excitement lasted seconds. There, it was like, oh no, I've got that. That sounds brilliant because, like, you don't get games like that now. I mean, I sound so old, but and realistically, who am I going to play it with? Like, I want to play it with you. So it'd be
Callum better. When he's a bit older, maybe. But,
yeah, absolutely. Well, there you go. And we're doing that now. We're doing that now with like the Star Wars Battlefront games. Fantastic split screen couch co-op, you know. But it's a different time, Dave, and we're old men, and we should just shut up and go back to our cave and play our retro games and be quiet. That's what we
finally
should.
Beat Streets of Rage. Did you beat Streets of Rage?
I beat the first one.
Is your medal in the one? Post?
No, but I did have to save Scummit, so. Yep.
Oh, so you didn't really beat Streets of Rage, but you may as well just watch the YouTube video.
I'm a loser.